Welcome, everyone, to In the Loop. Welcome back, everybody, to Season 3 of In the Loop. We are so excited to have you all with us. I'm joined by Elizabeth Monaco and Alex Brown, and we're talking all about SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T goals, and KPIs, what our New Year's resolutions are, as well as tease a few of the future episodes that are be coming out in the Loop. We got some really interesting interviews coming up down the line, and we're really excited to be here and really get the season going. So thanks again for tuning in. We got a bunch more awesome episodes lined up. Enjoy the show. This episode is brought to you by Punchmark, the jewelry industry's favorite website platform. Whether you're looking for better e-commerce performance, business growth, or campaigns that drive traffic and sales, Punchmark's website and marketing services were made just for you. It's never too late to transform your business with a user-friendly, point-of-sale integrated website platform designed for growth and results. Sign up for your free trial demo at punchmark.com.
This episode is brought to you by The Smithy Group, a digital growth agency that helps leaders and businesses dream bigger and achieve multi-generational integrity. Through insights and intelligence, digital marketing, and advertising solutions, we help businesses expand their reach, grow their revenue, and make an impact. TSG has helped hundreds of businesses surpass their goals and believe that whatever your business, whatever your story, we will make it matter to your audience.
And now, back to the show. What's up, everybody? My name is Michael Burpo, and I am joined by Alex and Elizabeth. How are you two today?
We're doing wonderful. It's a new year. We're excited. Yeah, excited for 2022.
Excited for 2022 and season 3.
Yes, just season 3. It's crazy. I feel like Alex B., I remember we were talking about this at maybe the beginning of 2020 because we were trying to transform it.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that it's already... You know, we're already in season 3 and we got a lot of really exciting things planned. But before we get into them, any New Year's resolutions or anything to kind of kick your year off? Do you have any like traditions, Alex B?
I'm usually a pretty like goal setting person, you know, operations, number one on the Enneagram. Like I'm a goal setter, except for New Year's. I'm like, I'm done with resolutions.
Oh.
Like I've decided I don't believe in them. I think that they set you up for failure and you're just disappointed in yourself by the end of January. So I think for me, it's more about like, how can I just get back into the groove of things? Like after the holidays, after feeling maybe a little bit burnt out at the end of 2021, I think it was kind of a difficult year for a lot of people. So kind of how can I enter the new year with a fresh perspective and kind of reframe a few rhythms and kind of get back into the groove of things rather than trying to set resolutions for myself that I feel like I'm going to fail. Like just how can I be more on top of things with my rhythms? That's kind of how I'm approaching it.
Nice. What about you, Elizabeth?
I feel like I'm kind of on the same page. I think when people set resolutions that are too specific, you're setting yourself up a little bit for failure. But I'd say if I had to, maybe just a general goal for myself is just balance more fun things and then professional and just personal growth, I would say. All around. Keep it general.
I like that.
What's funny is you think that kind of set you up for failure, but so for a really long time, I was really into New Year's resolutions and I used to set very specific ones. And I think that they were called, there's like a methodology to it called like SMART.
SMART goals, yeah.
Which is like sustainable, maintainable,
actionable.
There you go. Something. And the main thing I learned is that they had to be number-based. And so the reason why I started was 1 year I wanted to run 600 miles. And it's a big enough goal that I couldn't do it in like 1 month or 2 months. But it was small enough that if I just chipped away at it, which it ended up being like 2 miles a day, then I would be able to get it in no time, you know, through the course of the year. And, you know, I've done a couple different things like that. This year I'm trying to kind of lean into things that I want to get involved in. So for example, I would like to get involved in, you know, esports commentary, I think would be really interesting. And I've always wanted to. And I think that this is just the year that I'm just like, you know what? Well, what else am I waiting for? So I'm going to give it a go. But yeah,
That's cool. Hey, what I really like about you, Mike, and the reason this podcast even exists is because you do have really great goals and you do make them really specific and defined. So I know that's how you've been able to do your art and all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool and pretty inspiring. It just doesn't work for me personally, but do you know what the new year does, I think, in terms of business, and especially when I'm looking at the Smithy Group and the operation side of things here, is it's just a great time to reset a lot of goals for your business, to like reflect on what the past year has brought. I love going through like the numbers of the year and going, okay, this is how we ended on last year. This is kind of how we're starting this year. Where do we want to be at the end of the year? Break that down into quarters. And I think that numbers thing that you said is very important when it comes to like the business side of things, because you can go, you can kind of have like tangible goals there too. And it's also a really great time. I always sit down with the team at the beginning of the year and set those SMART goals for like people personally and professionally. And then, you know, we have like yearly goals and then we go through them each quarter to go, hey, how are they tracking? How are you going to achieve them this quarter? How, like, where are you wanting to land? So I think like for me personally, I try and take like a broader perspective when it comes to like the New Year's and goals. But when it comes to like business and work and working with my colleagues, like it's very like, hey, cool. Like now's a chance to reset. Like now's a chance to refocus what we want to achieve, but without taking anything away from what we did achieve last year. Like, how do we build on that as opposed to go, okay, scrap all that and start again? You know, I don't like that kind of feeling of having to start again. It's just like a reset, you know?
I just feel like one thing I've always been worried about is when I constantly am saying there will always be more mountains to climb. Always. And whenever it comes to business or our, you know, at Punchmark, you know, someone will be like, you know, I'd love to get to the stage where we could just sit around and do nothing. But first we got to do this. And it's like, there will always be another project for us to do and another thing to improve or build or rebuild. And I think that this kind of ties into the first thing I really wanted to discuss was, how can you take the start of the new year, and which is traditionally, at least in jewelry and jewelry retail, is a little bit of a slower time, and how can you start to kind of start leading yourself into one of these longer term goals? And I think that e-commerce, I mean, that's what we're here to talk about. It's, you know, jewelry, retail, e-commerce, and how can you start pushing yourself in the direction of where you'd like to go? Because again, it's just like trying to run 600 miles. If you try to do it just at the start of November, you're going to be trying to run 300 miles in 1 month, and it's very unsustainable. And I do think, though, if you just chip away at it at piece by piece, you'll start to kind of get to the end goal, and it'll be a lot less painful in the future. That's kind of how I'm tying the theories together.
Absolutely. I think that coming into the new year, it's really important for businesses to really identify what their goals are. Like, obviously, a common goal is they want to grow in sales, right? Like, that is a very tangible goal. But how do you break that down? What areas of sales do you want to improve? Is fashion not working as well for you? So do you want to push into that? Or is like bridal your bread and butter? So, hey, like I just want to grow that by 30%. Okay, great. So what does that mean, 30%? Let's break that down. How many more rings a month does that mean based on your average sale? How many more rings a month do you need to sell to kind of get to that 30%, right? And break it down into those like small bite-sized pieces. Because if you go, okay, well, per month I need to sell an extra 4 rings, right? Okay, cool. So in terms of our marketing, then we can then push into that and go, well, you've got 4 rings to sell. We're going to identify it with this audience. We're going to, you know, we work backwards with the data then, and we can really speak to those goals when we're in the marketing. So if you don't really start with what you want to achieve and your actual goals for the year, then you can't break that down in order for like your marketing to work for you and your website to work for you and all the pieces to come together, your employees to work for you, because your team need to know your goals as well, right? Like if they're on board with your goals, they're going to help you achieve them, you know, and they're going to have their own personal KPIs too, presumably, because, you know, they're a sales team and they want to sell more. So, hey, work together with those goals to kind of achieve what you need to achieve.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with what you said too, Alex. And it's not a matter of a total clean slate and leaving everything behind from last year. But I do think that the start of the new year and the start of the first quarter, there is kind of something fresh about it. And if there's a time to evaluate what things, even looking at the last year, what's worth bringing into the new year and what wasn't working, and kind of
exactly
separating those out, because some things aren't worth bringing into the new year, and you have to make room for new ideas, new strategies. So it's kind of an exciting time in the sense that it feels like there's something like fresh and new about it, and getting to choose what are we going to bring into the new year, what's staying behind.
I think that's so important to identify, like, the what hasn't been working, you know? I think we focus on, like, pushing into things that we want to achieve, but actually, like, sit down and identify, like, what isn't working for you? Is it worth the effort? Is it not working because you're not putting the right amount of resources behind it? Like, for some clients, it might be a particular brand, right, that isn't working for them in store. Okay, cool. Have you worked with that brand with any co-op opportunities? Have you done proper marketing and targeting? Or what about, like, old inventory, right? So if you've got a bunch of inventory that's been sitting there for over a year and you can't move it, okay, do a marketing campaign around it. Push that out. So identify what's not working and identify, you know, ways you can solve it and push that, or cut it. Cut your losses and go, okay, that's not worth it. That's not worth my time, and move on to the new exciting things, as you say, Elizabeth. I think that too often we kind of hold on tight to past ideas. And I mean, we've seen a lot of people do that even in terms of their like traditional marketing and not moving into e-commerce and not updating their websites. And we're like, no, that's not working for you anymore. Move into the new spaces, give it a go, give it a try. And this is how that could look for you.
It seems like a lot of people have a hard time doing that because they almost feel like it's admitting that they were wrong or admitting that they had made a mistake. And not everybody can do that. Some people's personality is just really great against that, which is, that's okay. But I do think that, for example, we are constantly adapting on this podcast, trying to, you know, do new things. Things don't pan out. I've made so many mistakes on this podcast and just in projects in general. And I think that you have to bump into the wall at some point to figure out that, oh, there's, you know, can't go that way. And then you start to kind of find your path a little bit easier. I think that with the marketing campaigns, it seems like that is kind of along the lines of, you know, you won't know until you try, and you won't know it's not a good idea until it doesn't work. And there's nothing wrong with it not working.
This is why we do A-B testing.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is why we do A-B testing. Like, check it out. See if it's going to work.
You know, again, a lot of people also, when it comes to KPIs and setting goals, think that if they don't hit their goal, that it's a failure. But there's also, I feel like there is something beneficial about setting a remarkable goal or like a high achieving goal and then getting 90% of the way there. Without that goal, if you would have only gotten 20% of the way there, it's still such a useful tool. And then you also have all that data for what you can start steering towards. So I think that I'd like to encourage people to start making those goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think too that you need to celebrate the smaller wins along the way, right? It keeps your encouragement up as you go. So when you're breaking down those like big goals and you break them down per month or, you know, per person or whatever that looks like for you and your store and your business, celebrate the small wins. Hey, an extra ring sale that month. Great. Celebrate it, because that's a step towards your goal, you know. For us, what we try and do, what we're moving towards with our clients is actually setting up a whole, like an annual strategy, right? So right from the get-go, at the beginning of the year, we know their business goals. We understand what they need. We've seen what's worked in the past for them. And then we go, okay, so this year, this is what your whole year is going to look like. These are the seasons that are going to be busier. This is when you need to put budget in more. This is like where your campaigns are going to run. And so within that, we can then break it down and go, okay, we're focusing on this month, we're focusing on this month, and like really pushing thing forward, but we're ahead at any given point and can pivot at any given point. But it's all based on these goals, right? And without them, we can't break down those annual strategies to really effective campaigns. But those campaigns don't run, well, some run for a whole year, but you know, sometimes they're just small bite-sized pieces. So let's celebrate those campaigns and the wins that you see from them as you go, and then learn from them and grow from them.
For sure.
I think to your point, people kind of see things as a failure if they have to pivot, but that's not how we see things. They're just all learning opportunities, which sounds so cliche sometimes, but it really is, because you have to step in and give things a go and give them a decent go, and then go, okay, I think the trick with business is just kind of like knowing when to cut your losses and move on, right? If the pandemic has taught us anything, we talked about this last year and I'm going to talk about it again this year because it's still true and it's still relevant, is we need to all be able to pivot at any given moment. If we see something not working, pivot quickly. If you hold on to something that's not working, it is going to drown you. It is going to keep you back, and other people are going to accelerate forward, especially in a world that is digitally focused. You guys know this with websites. We know this with marketing. Like, if you're not pushing forward, if you're not trying new things, if you're not cutting your losses, if you're not optimizing and adapting quickly, then you will fall behind and other people will swoop in. So you got to keep in the race.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, again, this is something we have an episode in, you know, in the near future, start of February, that's looking like it'll be about trends. And we did this last year. And one of the biggest trends from 2020 going into 2021 was the human brand and being more personable and kind of having a greater touch point and all those, you know, buzzwords that we love to say. And this upcoming year, and not to kind of spoil the entire episode, can you guys think of a couple of trends that you had seen, maybe not just in business, but in the greater kind of sphere of things? But like off the top, I can think of, I'm seeing, you know, a massive shift towards e-commerce. Again, all you have to look at is year over year, and you'll see that every single month outperformed the last year's and the year before that. And then, you know, incrementally larger for November and December. It's just been pretty wild. But what about you guys?
An interesting trend I saw, which this was kind of an end of the year trend, but it was a transitioning, I guess, trend into the new year, was year in reviews, or like stemming from like Spotify Wrapped. I feel like Spotify was kind of the first one to do it with the Wrapped. And then
yes,
now I think I just saw Google's doing like a TV special that's actually like Google's year in review. And it's going to be like broadcast on TV, and just even like a small restaurant that I follow did their like year Wrapped, and it was like what you ordered, like what your favorite drinks were, just like things like that. But I kind of saw it like more than in years past. I feel like Spotify was kind of the only one doing it, but I thought that was cool.
Wow.
That I saw people doing going into this year, and it's still going on. I'm pretty sure Google's is coming out their 2021 like year in review.
I think honestly, brand is so important, and the human brand is not going away.
Yeah.
So we have been talking about it for a little while, but it is not going away, and it is only exponentially becoming more and more important. So I think the trend there is actually still moving very much in towards the human brand and just more connection, more community. The more that you can build that on your online presence, the better. And then the other thing for us is more being smarter with our advertising. So smart ads. And that's really about digging deeper into data, you know, with all the iOS updates and all the algorithm changes, like that's changing all the time. I know this year, Instagram are bringing back the chronological algorithm.
Chronological version.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And well, you know, I'm
not
really
for you
interested
guys,
in this. No. Well, I'm really interested in this because everyone's been crying out for it for a long time, right? And now they're giving an option, right? So you can either have your chronological timeline or you can keep it how it is. I'm placing my bets on we all switch back to our chronological timeline and get bored real quickly and end up switching it back because Instagram knows what we want to see. Like they know they've perfected it, you know? So, or it will be interesting to see how often they toggle back and forth. It will definitely impact marketing though, because we've moved towards different consumable content that can be, you know, left on the feed for a little bit longer and left on your profile for a little bit longer and discoverable for a little bit longer. So if more people move towards that chronological feed, that might change that strategy. But I think what's interesting with the smart ads is that the data behind everything, if you're just utilizing what you can get on the social media platforms, you're not going deep enough. So we've started creating other ways to collect data and make sure that we have more specified audiences so that we can, you know, potentially increase that cost per click, but actually we're targeting more of the right people. So that's kind of where we're focusing on things right now, is like that smart advertising and still pushing heavily into that human brand, brands that make an impact, brands that make a difference, brands that really have a footprint on the digital space.
It seems like the time of, or the age of, like the scattershot, like, you know, not personalized advertisement is just completely past, and it's all about being as hyper-focused, as data-driven as possible. Like, I haven't gotten served an ad in probably, you know, a couple months that wasn't right on and wasn't exact. And the ads are getting more, what is it, realistic, more human feeling? Like they feel like quality posts. Yeah, I don't know. Is that something you're seeing, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I also think like video is a lot bigger right now than it was in years past. Like it's not necessarily commercials, but it's like the short clips, whether it's an Instagram reel, a TikTok. YouTube just came out with a new
YouTube Shorts.
Yep. Yeah, YouTube Shorts. And I feel like they're everywhere and they're so targeted. Like you said, like it's personal videos that it could be something that like my friend would send me, but it's an ad and you don't even necessarily always realize that it's an ad for that reason.
Everyone needs to be doing Instagram reels. Everyone. And it is the most awkward thing to try and do first off, right? Like we've been trying to do it here and you're always like, oh, this trend's stupid and it's awkward and I have to like dance or something. But like you just got to do it. You just got to get used to it. You just got to practice. And honestly, the amount of like engagement and interaction that you'll start seeing the increase of if you're doing reels is exponential. So everyone's saying it, but I'm here to put my foot down and say you have to do reels this year. I know it's a big part of our client strategies and what we're wanting from them and the content that we're requesting from them. But to really play into what the algorithm wants at the moment, you do need to be putting out that video content, absolutely. And you get different data.
Man, we should have a competition. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a real competition?
A 10-second or 20-second or less competition and just give someone, I don't know, some incentive to try to make it. Because I think that the first one is the hardest one. And then after that, then you realize it's, you know, it's cringe and then you're just kind of over it.
Well, I'm like 15.
It's still awkward?
It's still awkward.
True.
No, it's fine. So, I mean, I think like people get stuck, and I will say this too, like you get stuck on... You kind of flick through all the reels, right? Like I go through them all, see what's trending, see what sounds are there, see what dances are happening. You don't have to dance, everyone. You a little hip shake here and there. You don't have to do the dances. The sounds are great. Like if you're seeing a popular sound, like make sure you save that and then you can use it later. But really, like sometimes like you get stuck on like what's the creative idea? Like, guys, everyone's already doing the ideas. You literally have to just do what other people are doing and that will get you a trending reel. So that's the thing. Like, you got to spend time actually going through the reels, seeing what's trending and kind of adapt to that.
You heard it here. Alex advocating for going through TikTok and Instagram reels. And it's,
do your
it's
reels.
Being productive.
Sit on Instagram all
yes,
day.
You're being productive.
Encourage your team members. Encourage your staff to be on their phones. Obviously not while customers aren't there. I've been in customer service. You do not want your team on phones when your customers are in. But that should be part of like baked into their daily like tasks, completely honestly. Like get them involved, get them excited. They're the ones that, you know, will want to be a part of this. And then it also helps to encourage your team to be a part of it, because when you have customers seeing your team members when they come into the store, they'll feel that human connection as well. So there's a double win for you there.
Love it. So just to kind of wrap this thing up, let's tease or talk about a couple of the episodes that we're most excited for that are going to be coming down the pike. The way that we sort of plan our content, this is kind of look behind the scenes. I like showing these kind of things. We do a content calendar and we plan 6 months at a time. And we plan out the content with the titles and the copy. We write everything ahead of time just so that we don't have to do anything the day of. The only thing I do is select the link and paste it into various spots and then it's promoted. So we have a bunch of episodes coming up. I can start, but I know these a little bit more intimately than most of the people. But do you guys have an episode that you're most excited for that'll be coming out in season 3?
Mike, I always think your interviews are really great. So you've got a couple of them coming up.
Ah, yeah. We're going to be doing our third ring buyers episode. And this one, so far we've done 2 men who purchased for women. And then we did 1 women couple. And then we are planning on doing a male couple. So kind of round out the series. And I'm hoping just to do a bunch more of them because they do really well. And honestly, I think that they're consumer interviews, I feel like for some reason, very lacking in the jewelry industry. I feel like they should be doing more of those, but that's probably the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm getting to join you in one of the coming interviews. So I'm excited to be a part of that. My first interview I'm joining for.
Yeah.
And we're also talking about men's fashion, which I am really excited to push into because Harry Styles is the icon of men's jewelry fashion right now. He's got his pearls, he's got his chains, he's looking good.
Yeah.
But I really do think that that is only going to grow that trend there. And, you know, I think it's interesting because you can sit in a room now guaranteeing that 99% of people are wearing a piece of jewelry, right? Men and women. And I just think that that's going to... like men are just going to wear more and more pieces of jewelry. And if we're not targeting that and if we're not like speaking to that, then we're going to have a missed opportunity there. So I'm really excited to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah. Men's fashion in general, I feel like it's so, it used to be like almost taboo. Like you couldn't talk about why you thought it was fashionable, but you needed to look a certain way because there was obviously a fashion trend at whatever stage it is. But now it's starting to become with the onset of streetwear and just, you know, a lot of just influencers in general making it more accessible and it less taboo. I am really excited about it, mainly because, I mean, I went to school for design. I think it's a fun way to express yourself. And for a while, I felt like a lot of men didn't feel comfortable expressing themselves through their own fashion choices. And now I think it's, hopefully we see it more. That's what I hope.
I feel like the line between men's fashion and women's fashion is also becoming more and more blurred, which is really exciting. And I feel like across the board, jewelry is becoming a much larger part, like style and streetwear and just everything. And it's really, it's going to be exciting to see in the coming year and just to talk about.
We have also, I think, a double interview with ClearSale coming up. And I'm really excited about this mainly because they have a ton of access to a lot of data related to not just e-commerce, but e-commerce fraud. In case you don't know, ClearSale does fraud protection. And they're also really awesome people. And they work with us very closely in the jewelry industry. And they provide that as a service. And they are going to see if they can come in and help set goals for you, depending on, you know, a lot of different metrics, but also are going to try to illuminate some of the most common techniques that fraudsters are doing and how they can avoid that. I just really like speaking with Denise, and I think she's a lot of fun. So I think it'll be a really good time. So anything else from you two before we kind of wrap this up? This is the first one, dusting off our podcast microphones, and we're off to it.
You know, I think we've collectively been through a tough couple of years, especially in the world of small businesses, right? There's been a lot to navigate, and then these holidays kind of hit us hard again. So a lot of people had really successful holidays, but, you know, there was a lot of closures and a lot of like people in quarantine and stuff like that. But I have a lot of hope for this year. I think, Mike, you mentioned at the top of it, you're like the new year kind of starts off a little slow, but I know actually we've got a lot of people hitting the ground running of just really excited to be planning ahead. And, you know, Valentine's Day is going to be right around the corner. That's going to come up really quickly. So,
yeah.
You know, already getting the strategies out for that. And so I'm just full of hope for a lot of those things, and that just going to keep seeing growth for small businesses, and that through the challenges of it all, we've still kind of supporting each other as a community and have each other back. So yeah, I think it's been a tough couple of years, but I'm excited for this year and have a lot of hope that, you know, we're just going to keep seeing a lot of growth.
Normally I'm cautiously optimistic, but now I am rambunctiously optimistic. I'm hoping that we go rambunctiously. That's right.
Rambunctiously optimistic. I like it.
I think we have to be at this point. You just have to be optimistic.
I don't know. I'm ready to just be full-fledged back into it, not have to worry about anything, and just kind of take the lessons that we learned and hopefully remember them. And, you know, just move forward with intention. So I'm really looking forward to this year, 2022. It's going to be a good one.
The other thing I'm looking forward to is all the shows. I think we're back on schedule this year for all of those. So we're going to be seeing a lot of people in the community this year. There's going to be a lot more people out and about. I know there'll still be a lot of precautions and safety regulations, which I think is really important still. But it's going to be great to see some familiar faces that I haven't seen in a while, that we all haven't seen in a while, and just a few more connections. So I'm really excited about that too.
everybody, we will be back next week. We've got shows coming out every Tuesday. We'll come back with Clear Sail next week. And every Tuesday morning, we'll be in your subscriber box. So make sure you're subscribing on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're getting your podcasts. And we'll be coming to you every week. Can't wait. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, remember to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and try subscribing on Spotify. It really helps us grow. New episodes in your subscription box every Tuesday. Thanks again. Talk to you next week.